You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Tom Valenti was named one of America's 10 best new chefs by Food & Wine in 1990. These days, he's the owner and head chef at West and the West Branch restaurants, both on New York's Upper West Side. It might come as a surprise, however, that he's a diabetic. He's called his latest cookbook, You Don't Have to Be Diabetic to Love This Cookbook, From Pasta to Pizza to Pumpkin Pie, 250 Amazing Dishes for People with Diabetes and Their Families and Friends. It's co-written with Andrew Friedman and includes 250 diabetic-friendly recipes ranging from grilled asparagus with mushroom truffle vinaigrette and a poached egg to creamy spaghetti with scallops and breadcrumbs. Workman is the publisher. And by the way, we've posted some of the recipes on our website at WNYC.org. I'm very pleased that it brings Chef Valenti back to our show today. Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. When did you learn you were diabetic?
I was diagnosed about 15 years ago.
And do you have type 1 or type 2?
Type 2.
Does that matter? Do you have to have a different diet if you're type 1 or type 2?
Well, I think that the type 1, which really represents only about 5% of the diabetes population, is obviously a bit more critical in consumption.
Did you have any inkling that you might have been diabetic before the diagnosis?
Well, it was hereditary. My father had warned me many years ago to watch my sugar, but I paid very little heed being in the business that I'm in, being surrounded by food every day.
And you eat it all. You have to eat what you're cooking, don't you?
Sure. I mean, you know, quantity is everything in this case. Mm-hmm. You know, tasting is one thing and devouring pounds of something that you love is another.
So you can pretty much eat anything that you're cooking for non-diabetics as long as you don't eat a whole plate of it, just
yeah.
A little bite.
Yeah, it really is moderation. I think that, you know, we as a society, you know, if we think of a steak, we think of a, you know, 22-ounce slab of beef. And, you know, for diabetic and heart disease, it's just not... It's just too much.
Well, when you were diagnosed, did you worry that this might have an impact on your culinary career?
No, you know, really, it's had very little impact on my culinary career just because I was trained in a certain way. And I know how to make food taste good. But I realized that being a food junkie and loving eating, I had to somehow find a way to make that food taste good for me.
Well, other than sugar, what did you have to give up?
Well, it's carbohydrates, it's, you know, quantity, size portion of proteins, things like that.
Well, you had an Italian restaurant, which is pasta-based, isn't it?
Pasta. That was my first reaction when I was diagnosed. I can't eat pasta anymore. You know, it was quite a wake-up call.
So what happened? You still probably just taste a little bit of pasta to see if it's going okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I still eat pasta, but I eat it in moderation. You know, for example, I've got a dish in the book that is fettuccine with asparagus. And basically what I've done is I've taken asparagus and sliced it lengthwise using an ordinary vegetable peeler and mixing that with a quantity of fettuccine that's actually less than the amount of asparagus called for in the recipe. So you still get that sensation of eating a bowl of pasta and twirling the noodle, but a lot of the noodle happens to be vegetable.
So this is also a matter of eating even things, proscribed things, in moderation, and it's okay.
Yeah.
In addition to recipes, there's a lot of dietary information in this book. Do you have a nutritionist who's helped you along the way?
Yeah, we had a nutritionist full-time on the project. It was very important, and obviously, unlike my first two books, it was much more calculated in its approach.
I'm assuming also more difficult to write, because in the other ones you can do your versions of things that you like cooking. Here you suddenly had to start thinking about just how much of each thing you could put in.
Yeah, I mean, the first two books were really, you know, shoot from the hip and make it taste good at any expense. And, you know, in this particular book, we decided early on to take a very low sodium approach. You know, salt is another big factor here. Heart disease and diabetes go very much hand in hand. So we opted to just do a really healthy cookbook.
Either you took recipes like Caesar salad, which is really salty.
Yes.
New England clam chowder, reinterpreted them to be diabetic friendly. How do you go about doing that? Obviously, you probably have a taste library that is a lot more complete than mine. So you could probably think of ways of getting around your problems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, again, it's a little trickery to some extent, but as long as it tastes good in the end, who cares? You know, Caesar salad, case in point, there's a Dijon mustard which has very little adverse effect. So we amped that up, and we added some Parmesan cheese, and we...
And no anchovies.
And we left the anchovies and the egg yolk out.
Mm. Can you explain the difference between good fats and bad fats?
You know, good fats and bad fats, most of the bad fats exist in animal fat. So it really, again, it's a quantitative consumption.
Well, you're much of your food is based on the French model.
Right.
And two of the most essential ingredients in France are butter and salt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huh. Yeah, and you just have to really watch the amounts.
So how do you cook without using butter and salt?
Well, you know, we really reached
for... Is canola oil a good substitute?
You know, canola oil is a good substitute. Olive oil is a good substitute. But, you know, what we really tried to recognize is that taste sensation, and we really found ourselves reaching for acids in many cases, acids being citrus, whether it's lemon or lime or orange, and then vinegars. Of course, there's a grand expanse of different styles there as well.
My guest is Tom Valenti, who has written a book called You Don't Have to Be Diabetic to Love This Cookbook, written with the help of Andrew Friedman and published by Workman. You also substitute turkey for many different kinds of meat.
Again, that bad fat profile is, compensated for here. If you look at the recipes in the book, there are a very high amount of fish recipes and high amount of poultry recipes. Consequently, there are very small amount of beef and pork, and that's really the reason.
And can turkey substitute for sausage and bacon?
Well, you know, it can. I mean, I think that it's just a matter of getting used to it. I think if you put bacon and turkey bacon side by side, you could certainly tell the difference. But again, it's really about having the discipline to understand that you're doing yourself and your kids a favor.
You talk about good fats and bad fats. What's a good fat?
They're not a good fat. Things like avocado have a very good fat profile.
Mm-hmm. Although some people have told me that they're afraid of avocados because they're going to put on weight. They're so delicious, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. You know, it's you have to make your peace with what you choose and the quantity in which you consume.
So do you think that thinking about your own situation has affected your cooking for other people?
It really hasn't. You know, I recognize that going out to eat in restaurants is more the exception than it is the rule. And I think that the book really provides more of a day-to-day usage. You know, and you know, frankly, going out is entertainment. To some extent, it's theater. And you get that. You have to have that once in a while.
But if you're a diabetic and you want to go out and you really love good food, are there things that are just in most menus that are perfectly acceptable?
I think that in many fine dining restaurants, and more so these days, you know, the diner has to reserve the right to say, I'm on a restricted diet and I would like my food prepared this way, you know. And if that particular restaurant is not amenable to that request, then they're doing themselves and the customer a disservice.
We've seen a few that say no, but the great majority say yes. And
Absolutely.
There are some chefs who even have put together full vegetarian tasting menus.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that
Charlie
as
Trotter did that in Chicago to great success.
Beautifully. I think that as we mature and begin to recognize the American diet on the whole, I think that chefs have, you know, some responsibility towards, you know, acquiescing.
Would just switching over to a vegetarian diet be good for a diabetic?
I think so.
Although many people just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You seem to have drawn your inspiration from all over the world, including dim sum inspired dishes and even a chicken paillard.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a lot of historically healthful eating outside these 50 states. And I think that there's some recognition towards a worldwide diet. You know, for example, I think that we as a society have to take a good hard look at how we've historically eaten. You know, if you look quite simply at obesity in our children over the last 25 years, obesity in kids from 6 to 11 has doubled, and in kids from 12 to 18 it's tripled. And you have to stop and recognize that there is a whole societal orientation around meal periods. You know, it's very easy in our country, because we all work so hard, that this commerce of convenience food has grown up around us. And I think that if you look at a little bit more of European or Middle Eastern, Far Eastern diets.
Are there certain regions that are particularly diabetic friendly? Because I could think of southern Italy with all of the olive oil on the one hand, but then the pasta on the other.
Right. Well, you know, I guess the point is that diabetes in America, we're, you know, the world leaders in so many things, and unfortunately we lead in that too.
We recently had Nigella Lawson on the show to talk about her Christmas cookbook, which has lots of dessert recipes heavy in sugar. Is the holiday season particularly difficult for people with diabetes?
I think so, and I think that it's equally difficult for those who host them. You know, and we really set out to make the book with the type of recipes that everybody at the table could enjoy what was being prepared, and there wouldn't be one, you know, person singled out because they were diabetic and made to feel uncomfortable.
Just one more thing before you go. You worked in restaurants all around town, but when you opened up West, which we should point out is spelled O-U-E-S-T, the Upper West Side was kind of a culinary wasteland. Now it's just filled with good restaurants. What led you to think you could make it work, and why do you think the area has changed?
Well, it's a funny question. When I was actually cooking on the east side of Manhattan many years ago, and I noticed, you know, I would check the reservation book every night just to see who was coming in, and I noticed a lot of Upper West Side telephone exchanges. And I thought to myself, well, maybe it was time. And I think that, you know, I think that the demographic of the Upper West Side has changed, and that there's a lot of big pre-war apartments. I think a lot of younger folks moved in with families, and I think that kind of changed, you know, the dining vibe up there.
And now you have a lot of competition, so maybe you've been hoisted by your own petard.
Yeah, but you know what? I got a lot of friends up there who are cooking great food, too. I'm very happy as well.
And what was Andrew Friedman's role in putting this cookbook together? I know he's helped a lot of chefs, 20 books or so.
Andrew Friedman was absolutely instrumental in this book. He and I, this is our third collaboration, and he's just terrific. He has the uncanny ability to adopt a voice. So he really puts it across in a very familiar tone. He's great.
Tom Valenti has written, "You don't have to be diabetic to love this cookbook, from pasta to pizza to pumpkin pie, 250 dishes for people with diabetes and their families and friends." And as I said earlier, we have posted some of those recipes on our website at wnyc.org. The book is published by Workman. And I want to thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you for having me. It was great.